on Microsoft Dynamics 365 Business Central. Following on from our last episode, where we talked about manufacturing and the benefits, many, many benefits of pushing it through ERP rather than an Excel spreadsheet or a piece of paper or something. So after exploring the basics of that, we now turn to Business Central. In this episode, we're going to demonstrate the features of Business Central for manufacturing and how it can help improve management, planning, and everything else. But as ever, I cannot do this without my esteemed co-host, Nirav Shah. Welcome back.
Hey, Peter. Happy to be back and excited to talk about this topic. Manufacturing is super important, obviously, in many different industries. I think if it's okay, we could just kind of get right into it and talk about Business Central and how manufacturing for manufacturers, Business Central could be the right choice. And we want to kind of demo and explain some of the manufacturing features and functionalities inside Business Central. First, I want to, before we show the product, I want to kind of talk about why manufacturing Business Central is actually good for manufacturing, right? Why it's suitable for some manufacturers. Now, it's not suitable for all manufacturers, right? But let's say it's manufacturers that have certain common goals in place. And let's start off at, looking at analysis of overhead costs. They want to know how much they're spending on their machinery, right? How much machinery is costing them per hour? How many people are working on a machinery? How long is it taking for a specific production order or routing on a production order move through the manufacturing plant, right? It's a good way to accumulate that data and start taking a deeper look at how to make better efficiency gains in the manufacturing floor, right? And then we have the optimization of supply chain. You're looking at, what you're manufacturing, what your capabilities as a manufacturer are, and how do you get that related raw material in on time and at the right quantity. So, A, you're not, stocking more than you could actually complete on a day-to-day basis. And B, that you're more just in time. Right. I think if you're just in time, you're going to have lower inventory value, and carrying cost and stuff like that, that, will, hopefully increase your profit margins at the end of the day. Right. Boost your sales. You are able to now fully understand what is happening on your manufacturing floor with the connected ERP system like Business Central. So your sales team could see what's in manufacturing. When do they think that they're going to go ahead and output that inventory and be able to deliver that product to the customer, right? And continuously evolve as a manufacturer, because the last thing you want to do is you have this great equipment, right? You have, processes that you feel is a certain cost, or you think is a certain cost because you have maybe a couple different Excel spreadsheets going on, or you're using QuickBooks for accounting, and you have another manufacturing software to run manufacturing, but it's not fully connected, right? So front office really never knows whether you're going over or under on a specific production order, right? They never analyze that. And manufacturing is kind of its own silo. It's doing its own thing, and never, finance or the front office is always scared to talk to manufacturing because they don't want, they're worried that, they're going to get in their way or something, right? But this kind of removes that barrier. So you could get an efficient communication chain going between manufacturing, between the front office, so you could ultimately produce products that are higher quality, maybe, at the optimal cost, where you're not doing a bunch of overruns, you don't have a bunch of costs leaking all over the place, right? And you could deliver to your customers on time. So create that two-way communication. And you do that when you have a system like an ERP system. In today's example, we're going to showcase Business Central, but you've got to remove all these different barriers. So you could get manufacturing data and information across to either side of the organization to make quick decisions. So that's kind of, one of the reasons why, I feel like Business Central manufacturing is good, because it's tailored for the SMB market. So you're not talking about, the SAPs of the manufacturing. You're not talking about Oracle of manufacturing. You're talking, SMBs have a very unique requirement, right? They don't need anything that's going to cost them hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, right? But they need enough visibility into manufacturing where they could control their inventory, they could control their routings, they could control their people, they could control their costs, and they could control their timing, right? And when you look at all these different elements of it, right, Business Central is a great fit for that SMB manufacturer to be able to get into a platform where they're maybe coming off of QuickBooks and they want an ERP system, but they're also a manufacturer. You're going to find, you know, in ERP, a natural transition. Business Central would be a natural transition to that process. Okay. So that's, you know, some of the benefits there of jumping into an ERP system that has manufacturing embedded. Also with Business Central, there is a licensing situation where Business Central, Microsoft offers a few different types of licenses. When you buy Business Central, you have what's called Essentials license, and then you have a Premium license. The Essentials license allows the user to use the kitting processes, what's called the assembly order, whereas the Premium license, which is $100 per user per month, allows the user to activate the manufacturing modules. So that's being able to use production bill of materials, routings, use production orders, right? Do outputs, so on and so forth. So just kind of keep that in mind that if you're looking at Business Central for manufacturing, to run manufacturing, you're going to want to be on the Premium Edition license for Business Central in order for you to use the manufacturing modules, what they call production. Otherwise, if you use the Essentials, you will not have access to it, and you only have access to the kitting process. Now, that's probably a good episode for another day, is to talk about, you know, at what point do you need to do full manufacturing, or can you get away with kitting in certain situations, right? Depending on what you're focused on, depending on what you're looking to achieve, what you're trying to report on, right? Sometimes for a manufacturer, it might be okay to start off with kitting and start small, right? Kind of that crawl, walk, run model that we've been talking about all through our, you know, various different episodes, is that let's just get on a connected system, an integrated system. Let's start with kitting. Let's get some formal processes in. And then maybe phase two is let's fold in manufacturing. Let's get some more dedicated bill materials and routings and look at time studies and stuff like that, right? Maybe that's the more logical approach. But, you know, I think that's a great episode for another day. Today, we're going to talk about Business Central and manufacturing and how that's going to, you know, how that kind of looks like for a day-to-day manufacturer.
Very good. So what do we need to do? Say we're coming from scratch and we have a clean system. What do we need to prep in order to really utilize the manufacturing modules? Is there some stuff we need to set up? I guess, imagine that we've got clean, we've got our customers in there, we've got our items set up. What else do we need to set up specific for that manufacturing feature?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to start showing the product here, but just going to rattle off a few quick setups that need to happen in Business Central. We need to look at the location card. How we're going to set our location up, our physical warehouse. We're going to take a peek at the item card. You know, what are the item masters and fields that we want to make sure that get set up accurately in order to prep the items to be used in manufacturing. We're going to look at the production BOMs, how to create a bill of material. We're going to look at shop calendars, how to define a shop calendar in terms of number of days and hours or shifts that, you know, your warehouse is working. We're going to look at work centers and or machine centers, right? Because those are going to be important as you create your routings. So those are kind of the most important setups in the system. And then what we'll do is kind of talk about a few of the different types of production orders that are available in Business Central. And then we'll go through an example that I have already ready to go. It's about a golf ball. We're going to manufacture, you know, 1,000 golf balls or 100 golf balls and show you how that process works. So I'm excited to kind of dive right into the system. Let me show you, and I'm going to go and share my screen here. Okay. So we're going to go, and what we see in front of here is Microsoft Dynamics 365 Business Central. I'm logged in currently as the business manager in terms of my role center. If everyone that kind of follows us, they kind of remember some of this role center activity that we showed early on. But what I'm going to do for us actually is I'm going to intelligently search some of the master test setup tables that we need to look at in Business Central in order to begin using manufacturing inside BC. So I'm going to use this search option up here in the top right. I'm going to search first for location. I'm going to go to our location table. And in our location table, I'll go into, let's say, our warehouse table here. our warehouse location. So in our warehouse location, okay, we have turned on, and these are the most important fields under the warehousing tab, is how we're going to set up our location. Is there going to be picks required? Are we going to do putaways, right? And where are picks going to be required? So this is the newest version of Business Central. In the newest version of Microsoft Dynamics Business Central, you could identify for purchase, sales, service, and transfer documents, whether you're going to require a pick, require a shipment, require a receive document, warehouse document. And then for production, whether you're going to require a pick document there. Now you could decide for production, you're not going to do it, but for purchasing and sales, you do want to do a pick document. That's fine. You have the flexibility to decide how you want to do that, right? Oop, let me go back in. And then same thing for assembly, which is called kitting. And then you got jobs. And then if something has been mandatory or not. So this is a very important setup in Business Central to be able to set this up accurately. So you set the picking processes up for the various different document types, so you could complete the picks at the right points for the different transactions that you're processing. Okay, this is a new feature in Business Central on the production picks, whether you want to identify something, if you want production to go through picking or not, which is really nice. You have a lot more flexibility in Business Central than you did in the past. So I just wanted to point that out, that that's a really helpful feature when you're setting up your warehouse. So that's first is the warehouse setup for us. I do have some bins in this warehouse that I've created. If I just look at bin management, I have some limited bins. I have a receiving bin, a shipping bin, a work center bin that we're going to be backflushing inventory from. Okay. The next thing I want to kind of go through is let's look at our item setup. And I'll kind of point out some of the main fields here. I'll go to our items. And I'm going to go to the item that we're going to use to manufacture. And I'm going to search for a golf ball. Here we go. Title this golf ball here for us. Here's our item master. Okay. Item master includes in it how much, you know, what the unit cost is based on a roll up of this item. What the item number is. If we scroll down, we go to the replenishment system. This is where it's really important to identify whether an item is going to be a production order item, a purchase item, or an assembly item. So in our case, we have a production order item. Under the manufacturing policy, whether it's make to stock or make to order. Here we have our routing and production BOM records that are linked back to our item master. So we could start here at the production BOM. We could say our master production BOM record, GB-001, is our production BOM that we have here. We could look at the details of our production BOM. So it tells us that these are the four components that roll up into that Titleist golf ball of ours up here, right? So we have rubber, we have a resin cover, we have an inner ball, we have white paint, we have a unit of measure, essentially, and a routing link code. So what routing link code is the ability to link specific routing steps to be consumed, or bill of materials, components to be consumed at specific points in the router. Okay, so we could identify that. So at one point in the production BOM, we have to identify the routing link code. And if I scroll back, and now I go into my routing record, we'll look at the routing record for this item. We'll look at show details. And here's our routing record. We see here we have five steps. Here we have forming, polishing, stamping, final coating, and packaging. Okay. And we have our work centers associated to each one of these different routing steps, or is identified by operation number. We have operation 10 through 50. Each operation has a specific unit of measure, whether it's minutes, days, hours, seconds. We've identified here setup time, runtime, and our routing link code. So we saw a routing link code on our production BOM side, and that matches our routing link codes on the routing side. So now the system will know for the production BOM, or components related to this item, it knows which components need to be consumed at which points in time during this routing now. Okay. We also have a subcontracting step, which is step 30, which is our stamping step. We outsource that, and we put a unit cost per of 25 cents per ball when we send it to a vendor for stamping. And we'll see that during this process that we could create a subcontracting purchase order during our production process. Let's go into one of these work centers to look at the setup, and we'll point out some important pieces of that. We'll look at forming. So here's our master work center card for forming, and we have the work center number, we have the direct unit cost, okay? We also have the unit of measure, we have the capacity, we have the efficiency, which is the utilization of this work center. So it could be generally it's 80% or it could be, you know, 90%, right? Whatever utilization you think is accurate for this work center, the system will essentially calculate the capacity based on this efficiency. So you could see, you know, instead of it being scheduled for 8 hours, you can only schedule this for, you know, maybe 6.5 hours if it's 80% quite efficient. Shop calendar, we identify whether how many shifts we're going to run. So here we have a one shift calendar for us, and we can look at what the details of that calendar is, what our working days are, what our holidays are. So here we have the time for this calendar is 8 to 4 every day, Monday through Friday. But you have the flexibility of adding as many different calendar types as you need, associating them to our work center. So the system knows, you know, how many hours is this work center could potentially be operating for during the day. Okay. So that kind of takes us through most of our setups that we wanted to talk about here. And after here, I'm going to talk about the different type of production orders that we have in Business Central. Peter, do you have anything to add to any of this?
No, this is very, very good. Every time I see these demos from you, I always think back to my business and, you know, where I can kind of apply these things and stuff. And one of the things I am thinking about is just how much this is probably underutilized. And this is probably... well, I already know we've discussed this, but I'm just going to say it anyway. We should do a podcast episode about underutilized areas of these modules. So, I really like this. I like the idea of being able to set up like shop floor hours, which then can start to show me or at least alert me to capacity issues or when I'm realistically going to get something rather than you know, shoving it in and then now it's just like the factory's issue to go and like produce it on time. You know, I really like this. It's again kind of going back to this idea of different departments being linked together through a one system, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of the manufacturing could be implemented so many different ways in Business Central. But, you know, I always recommend implementing it the easiest way out of the box. And you kind of just saw, I just rattled through, you know, four or five quick screens. But really, that's all you need from a setup perspective. You know, we don't need to make it more complicated than that. Because you'd rather have the system to be a driver of collecting data more than it being a barrier just to continue data entry all day long. Right. So we want to make sure that we implement it, that it's flexible enough that you're getting the benefits out of the manufacturing and it's not a deterrent for people because it's so complicated. You have, you know, 15 routing steps when you could have just consolidated to 5. Right. You got to find what are those critical points that you really want to measure manufacturing and focus on that and set the system up according to that way, because ultimately that's what's going to benefit you and your business. So really, manufacturing could be set up very easily. And what I went through there was kind of a very simplistic setup. But, you know, there's also an advanced setup type of manufacturing that we could show in Business Central. Maybe we'll do that a little bit later on in a different episode. But really, there's not much more to that than what I went through. You know, you create the item card, you create the bill material, you create your routing, you do a roll up. And then I like to show this as the final piece of the setup. Is if I go to bill of materials, I could also see my cost shares, which is essentially a nice graphical view roll up of my bill of materials and my work center and how my costs roll up as my total cost for the item. Okay. So this kind of always keeps you updated on, hey, what are my cost layers doing on my exploded bill of material? This could be multi-level as well, not a problem. And saying, where are most of my costs tied up to? Where is there an accuracy in my bill of materials for this item or my routing? Where do I need to adjust something, right? It kind of gives you this full view of your items and, you know, what the cost structure looks like.
So where is it getting the costs for things that are not directly tied to a raw material? So something like forming. I know we've got cost and the unit of measure is hours. So have we already set up the system to say hourly rate of production member?
Yeah, we have. So back in the work center card, we've put the direct unit cost here. So it knows what the unit cost per hour is for us. And then we've told the system, what is the setup time for a specific item? Or what is a runtime for a specific item? So then it takes this cost and basically calculates what is that runtime or setup time that we see here on the cost share screen. So this is a really nice view, kind of really controlling that whole process of onboarding new items. What is our expected manufacturing cost? What should it be? And then you can see what the actual was when you run the item through manufacturing and kind of do a good comparison.
Very good.
So now I'm going to quickly just shift here. We've kind of gone through the setup pieces of it and show the different types of production orders that we have in the system. So I'm going to go and just search for production orders. And I'll just kind of rattle off a few that we have here. I'll show it here on our search menu. So I'll just look at production. And the ones I want to show is the number one here you have. Actually, it's probably not a good view. Product order. So we have a simulated production order. So simulated production order is when you do like a more or less a what if scenario. This does not affect your capacity planning doesn't affect planning itself. It does look at capacity and tells you based on setup times and run times when this item could be pushed through the production floor when you refresh the production order, but it has no impact on the planning process itself. So a simulated production order. Then you have a planned production order, which does impact planning. This is almost like you don't have a full routing defined yet. You don't have a full bill of material defined yet, but you just want to get something out there in terms of visibility to production that this is going to be coming at some point. That's usually a planned production order. And then once you continue to plan that, get some more concrete, you know, capacities and bill of materials and so on, things like that figured out, then you change the status to what we call a firm planned production order. A firm planned production order means that this production order is imminent. You're going to go ahead and release this to the floor. And now you're just checking, do we have enough capacity? Do we have enough raw materials from the bill of materials to release this to the floor? Are we ready to produce it based on due dates and start times of the production order? At which point you change the status to what we call a released production order. The released production order then gets the production order out to the plant. You print the traveler, you begin the first operation step, you pick raw materials, right, that are necessary for this production order, and you go through that production order process and ultimately output whatever item you're manufacturing on that production order. And then the last and final status of a production order is a finished production order, which is essentially the status after you've finished a released production order, you change the status to a finished production order, which is essentially an archived order that stays in history. So you can always go back and look at the details of that production order that we'll show here as part of our example today on that finished production order and the history that's available to you. So those are the five production order statuses that are available to you in Business Central, which is very helpful when you think about the point of how you could scale from maybe starting out with a light manufacturing process all the way up to a little bit more of a controlled manufacturing process where your team is growing and you need more of a simulated production order than a planned production order, a firm planned production order to control the manufacturing process.
Can you jump in at any point? So I can just raise straight into raising a released production order, or can I start from a simulated one, turn it into a planned one, turn it into a firm planned one?
Absolutely.
So you can jump in at any point or go through the whole
any point. Okay. Yep. You could jump in. You could jump in at any one of these statuses and then move to the next status essentially. So let's say, for example, then we're just going to kind of dive right in here. Let's dive right in and create a firm planned production order for our item. Okay. I'm going to create firm planned production order. I'm going to select new firm planned production order. I'm going to get the next number in the series. I'm going to select our golf ball that we're going to manufacture.
And you're just tabbing through there, aren't you? The BC is just picking up sequentially the next unique number for this production order, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Let's say I'm going to do four production orders, four golf balls. for this particular sleeve that I'm creating, and I'm going to manufacture this in my warehouse location, right? The warehouse location that we looked at earlier. And now I'm going to refresh the production order. So what the refresh will do is bring over the production BOM and production routing that we associated to this item that we saw early on in one of our setups. So here we see that we have our golf ball that got refreshed to the line. And now we go to the line, let's look at our first item, our routing. Our routing came over based on our default routing. If we want to make any changes here, we can. We still have that option. If I want to go to components, I can go to our components list. And here's our components that we need to make for. And you'll notice here, based on our components that we're going to be using, we have the system identifying what we need to make one golf ball, but also has multiplied that out and tells me to make four golf balls. Here's the expected quantity that I need. Okay. And it's also told me where I'm going to be back flushing this inventory from. So I'm picking this inventory and I'm backward flushing it directly from my work center. Okay. The next step for me would typically be, let's go ahead and print our traveler. So I could print our traveler and maybe look at a few things that I need to look at, right? See what production orders are gonna print, maybe start evaluating it internally. And if this looks good, I have enough inventory and I have enough capacity, I'm gonna change the status to released production. Currently I'm a firm planned production order. I'm gonna change it to released, and what release will do will essentially allow me now to execute this production order. So now you see that the production order status has changed from firm planned to a release production order 102002. So I'm going to get out of my firm planned status here. I'm going to go to my released production order list view. And here's our Titleist golf ball 102002 production order. And now it's a released production order. But my same bill of material and routing has come over from my firm plan side, and now it's ready to go and I'm ready to execute this production order. So once I decide that I'm going to issue this to the floor, or I need to go ahead and start to pick the material, the next step for me would be to create my warehouse pick. Okay, so once I print the traveler, send it out to the floor, maybe the foreman or the material handler now will go ahead and create the pick. You could create the pick on an order by order basis, or you could create the pick on an aggregated basis, right? Using a more consolidated approach, what's called the pick worksheet. In our case, I'll just go ahead and create it from here. Create the pick. We'll hit okay. And the pick is now generated for us. And I could go into the pick. I'm going to relate it. Orders, pick lines. There's our pick. Let's look at our document. And the system is telling us what I need to pick, where I need to pick from, and where do I need to take the material to. Okay. So this is where we see the take and place lines. So we're taking it, for example, our rubber material. We need 8 inches. So we're taking 8 inches from S002 and we're moving it to our work center bin, which is WC001. So as I output inventory from a specific work center bin, right, during the in-process flow of the routing, the system will backward flush the raw material as necessary to consume that item. So I'm going to go and pick this inventory. I'm going to register, and the pick will be registered now. Now I register the pick and I've picked the inventory. The inventory at this point, based on my location setup, is not issued to work in process yet. It's issued to the work center. So the work center, once I backflush the inventory based on expected output, will go ahead then issue that inventory to work in process. So I've basically staged the inventory at this point based on my location setup. So as we're going through the normal flow of production, generally, you know, we're going to have people logging their time, start time and end times. A couple of different ways to do that in the system. We could use the capacity journal. to enter our setup times and run times. So we could go ahead and put in our document. We could tell the system. Let me go back here. Move analyze mode. Let's go to actions. Post, so we could actually type in, let's say labor, and I could put in, you know, a specific work center, and essentially I could put in my start time and end, my end times, or I could come back into production order and use a production journal. A lot of different ways to set this up in the system. I'll show us how we do this here. And we have our routing steps over here. I could just enter our setup times and run times here. So let's say I'm gonna just put in some times here of, you know, what it kind of we it took us to set up and run for this based on the unit of measure. I could put in my quantity. Let's say for the first line, we only outputted 2. I'm not gonna output anything else in any of the remaining operation steps at the moment, but I'll just go ahead and finish 2 based on the time reported for this particular operation. I'll go ahead and post. Hit yes, we're gonna post this. And what the posting process does will essentially create some work in process for us at this moment. So as soon as it posts through, lines were successfully posted. Now if I go back, you'll notice we still have not completed anything. We have not finished anything, meaning we have not taken the 2 that I finished off the first step all the way through the production order. We've only finished 2 in the first step, first work center. But if I go into some of my analytics of this order, and let's say I first start a capacity ledger entry, I see I have some costs here of 1.5, and I output it to $63. And if I go to my item ledger entries, we have consumption of some raw material equivalent of 2 pieces that I completed and with some cost now. So when you look at this from a big picture standpoint and you go to order and look at your statistics of your order, you'll start seeing some actuals come in. You notice we're already way over in our capacity off that first routing step. You'll notice our material costs have now increased. We have actual costs of $1.20, and you see our expected cost, right? Our expected cost is based on what the expected roll-up routing and bill of material was for the specific item. So you also have a view of the differences between both of that expected and actual. Okay. And you see you have our variance here.
I really like this. I can't think of a better way. I can't really think of a good enough alternative outside of an ERP that allows you to have such a visibility on the variance of what you expected to be spending on production. Yep. Versus. Yep. What you actually are on a job by job basis. This isn't just like, oh, let's have a look at the end of the month and then get surprised. Exactly. By some big bills. Like, we can see this per order. That's really cool.
Per order. Exactly. And that's the whole idea, is that, you know, being more proactive than reactive, right? When you remove the barriers of communication between the front office and the back office, right? You get this useful information where both sides could work, you know, in harmony and be able to come up with better ideas as a team to help reduce production costs, right? To get more efficient, get more lean, right? Increase the profit margins at the end of the day. So if we just carry on and just go ahead and complete this production order, let's say I go through the rest of the process and I'm just going to add, let's say, some time in here, right? But typically this would be done through shop floor. Okay. Oh, this is subcontracting. All right. And let's also quickly do a subcontracting step for us. Let me refresh the production order. Let me go ahead and complete. Let's go ahead and do a subcontracting step. So I'll just go ahead and do some outputs on the other first two steps. And now I'll go do a subcontracting PO. So remember, step 3 for us in our routing is a subcontracting step, stamping. All right. And here's another thing I want to point out. As we're adding time to our routing steps, the system knows that this step is in progress. So think about the power of sales just seeing where you are in production for a specific order. you'll see what steps have started, what steps have not started, what steps have finished, right? So the system keeps track of this very, very easily and simply in the order automatically. So let's go ahead and create a subcontracting PO. So we'll do a, we'll go into what's called a subcontracting worksheet. And I'm gonna calculate my subcontracting plan. And we have some other orders in here, that's fine, I'll leave it there for the moment. All right, here's our order on the bottom. I'm gonna unflag the other orders that we don't need. We don't wanna execute, but we'll execute this bottom line here, quantity of 4. We have our direct cost, we have vendor. We're gonna calculate our sub, we're gonna carry out the action message. We're gonna create our PO. PO is created, my subcontracting suggestion line has now disappeared. I'm gonna go into my purchase order that's linked back to this production order actually. So if I go and look at that, okay. Here's our PO, and what we'll see, the production order number and the production order line number is linked back to that production order, right? So it knows that we're only bringing in services cost. We're not increasing perpetual inventory in this case. I'm going to go ahead and receive and invoice this. Put vendor invoice in here, receive an invoice. Okay. Post. Yep, I need to go through approval. I have approval set up in my environment, so I'll just go and quickly approve this. Say I went through the approval process, it's got approved, and now I'll go ahead and post this, receive an invoice. Oh, let me go back, let me put the quantity that I'm gonna be receiving it. So the system knows that I'm receiving a specific quantity, we'll put in the 4. Now we'll go ahead and receive an invoice. Now I received it, invoice is already set for this particular subcontracting. Now if I go back to my production order and look at statistics, we're gonna have a subcontracting actual cost that came in here of $1. Okay. Now continue on through our production order. Let's continue and I'll complete the final 4 and both of the final 2 routing steps. I'll go ahead and hit post. If I had set up in runtime, I could add that there. I'll just leave it as is. We posted. Now we'll see, since we outputted off that last step, we have 4 finished, 4 on hand now, essentially. And if I look at our statistics and inquiries, we'll see the entry type of output of 4 on hand. And we'll see the consumption for our raw material that we completed through our item ledger entry. We'll see all of our capacity entries come over as well over here. So we see our capacity entries that came over from the different work center and shop floor activities that we completed. And now the final step for us is to change the status to a finished production order. We want to finish this. We're going to say yes, production order is finished. And now the status has changed from release to finished production order. Good thing is system kept the same number for us. So now if I search the finished production order, we'll go to archives, and here's our finished production order here on the bottom. And we could see we finished 4, and we could also see all the related information around it. When I go to entries, my item ledger entries, I have that in history. That's auditable for us. And I could also see my capacity ledger entries that we completed. And I could always go back and take a look at, well, how did we do last year on the same production order versus this year on the same production order, right? And get that analysis view to see, are we getting better, or is our vendors not giving us better, good material because we continually use more material than we need? All these different type of analysis that I need to run my business. So I'm going to stop sharing here and kind of, you know, start looking at this, and hopefully everyone was able to see, right, how Business Central Manufacturing could help their business If you're not running a full ERP system at the moment and you're a manufacturer, I think I'll strongly consider companies to take a look at this, because it just keeps everything a lot more connected in your organization and a lot more visibility into your supply chain to make better decisions all the way around in the business.
Yep, that was really good. I enjoyed that. There's a lot of different features in there, and I like the fact that really there's not that much just to have the fundamentals to be able to push production through an ERP. And anything else can be seen as complementary or added at a later date, which is really cool, depending on how far you want to take it. I assume everything that we've seen is out of the box as well.
Out of the box. Yep. There's nothing enhanced, customized, or anything like that. This is the premium version of Microsoft Dynamics Business Central out of the box.
What I like about that is the fact that you can really have a comprehensive production flow dependent on exactly how your business operates. The fact that you can put in subcontracted parts into that process or run straight through with even a single item on a bill of material. Like the capacity is all there, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is just one. This is kind of like a more of a make to stock and order. Maybe at some point we could do a make to order production order and show that. But yeah, hello.
Thanks. You couldn't have waited. Like, we're 2 minutes away from the end of this podcast.
I know. Hey, you have some hops there. What was your cat's name again? I forgot.
Morgan,
yeah. Mr. Morgan makes a cameo appearance. You should put that at end. We have a special cameo appearance at the end of the podcast.
Yeah. Right at the end. Yeah, like it's dribbling right on my shoulder as well. Oh, yeah. Now he's flicking it everywhere.
Nice. Nice.
All right. I think it's time to end this podcast. Nirav, wonderful to have a fully fledged demo there on the BC side of things of manufacturing. Now the next episode coming straight after this one will be looking at Acumatica and how production gets pushed through the Acumatica ERP.
Yep, absolutely. Looking forward to that. There's definitely some interesting aspects to Acumatica manufacturing, deeper reporting. We're going to see some deeper bill of material maintenance functionality there. And some extra cost inquiries that are available on the Acumatica side that are not in the Dynamics Business Central side. So I'm excited to share that in the next episode.
Very good. Well, until next time, take it easy, and I will catch you on the next episode.
Catch you and Morgan on the next episode.